Holy Spirit, have your way as we approach your word. Through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Would y'all give VOP another round of applause? Would you turn with me to Mark, the 8th chapter, verse 27 through 30. Mark 8, 27 through 30. If you are joining us online, I want you to also grab your Bibles with us, and I want our youth to highlight this portion. The word reads, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Verse 30 reads, "Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of what do you call him? What do you call him? Before I begin, just so that my spirit settles a little bit, I was talking to one of the youth earlier this week, and, you know, I try to incentivize our college students from Ebenezer to make sure they text me and let me know how they're doing. And it was about 2 weeks ago I said to one of the youth, you know, if you text me and if you ever need anything, I'll make sure to send something to your Cash App. Now, y'all know Cash App is just an electronic way of sending money. So I told her I'd send some Cash App in, or send her Cash App, and I told a few other ones. So, you know, they never text back, except this time they did. When I said Cash App, they hurried up and responded 1 week at the exact same time. And I know what they did. They put in their calendar, you know, text Reverend Spears. Because what I told them is if they don't text me and just check up, then I don't want them to ask me for nothing when they need something. But anyway, say what you want to say. But, you know, y'all know how people ask for stuff only when they need things. Okay, I'm good now. Y'all okay? It's good to see you, Genesis and Giselle. So verses 27 through 30 is a very short passage. It doesn't have much there. In fact, most commentaries kind of give just a short synopsis of what the gospel means. So I'm going to read into the verses more than is what is printed on your Bibles or in your Bibles. I'm going to start by speaking boldly to our parents and especially to our youth and young adults. So listen to me. One of the things I believe is a huge issue for Christianity today, and really the secular world as well, is the fact that we have too much information at our fingertips without enough understanding. Let me say that again. Everything is fast now. Whereas you had to go to the library before, you had to, you know, really research what it is that you wanted to know. You had to look up things in the dictionary. My grandmother always kept a dictionary in our bedrooms so that when we read books, we wouldn't come and ask her questions. We would know where to go. But now you can type things in your phone. You can get it at the split second. In fact, Google tells you exactly how quick and how many responses you got when you look it up. And the same is true with Christianity. When Martin Luther said that he believed in the priesthood of the believer, that is, that everybody has a right to interpret Scripture, everybody has a right to understand Scripture as they think it is written, the thing that, or the residue that was left behind with that decision within theological studies, within our world, and everything that's so easily at our grasp, is that it's too much and we don't understand everything. It is the same situation in our text today. People know that there is a Jesus. These disciples have heard and seen, but it was too much for them to grasp. It was everything all at once, everything that they had known, their history, their text. Because they would not have had the canon, the Bible as we have it today, right? They would have had a word of mouth. Some of them would have been able to have these old parables and things that were written down. But they didn't carry these things around. It was on these large, big parchment papers. You couldn't have it easily at your access. So when Jesus came onto the scene and he began to transform and do things they had never seen before, Christ asked them a question, and with the reply that was given, not specifically from the disciples, because Peter answers the right way, but from the public at large, we find out they truly could not comprehend who Jesus was. And I think that that is a problem for us today. In our Christianity, we think we know who Jesus is. Oh, Jesus is the one that we worship when we put on our fine suits and ties, when we have our nice hair and makeup done. Jesus is that man that the preacher preaches about. Jesus is the one that healed the leper, but I ain't never really seen him heal for me. But he's still Jesus. Right. We know Jesus from Scripture, but how many of us truly can or do comprehend Jesus at the core? I'm not talking about the man Jesus. I'm talking about the manifestation of God in the flesh. Do we truly comprehend why he came? Why he was incarnate to us and left behind this divine residue of his presence in our lives? Do we truly comprehend that the same Jesus that healed the leper, that raised the dead, that made a way time and time again, is the same Jesus even today? And what happens is Jesus raises a question. He asks, who do they say I am? When he asked the question, he was like, listen, you got your ears to the street, right? You've been out there, y'all know, y'all. You've been out there partying with those people, and you've been drinking with those people. Y'all know they did drink in Bible days, right? And some of us drank yesterday. Ain't nothing wrong with a little wine every now and then. Okay, whatever. If you're 21 and older. This crowd that Jesus is asking about, he asked through the disciples. He was like, your friends, who do your friends say that I am? And they said, well, some say, Lord, that you are John the Baptist, and others say you are Elijah, and even others say that you are some prophet. All of those responses in the right context could kind of be correct. But Jesus had other plans. But let me just kind of break down why those names were given. First of all, you have to realize that everybody has a different reality of who Jesus is. Some people are super liberal and their Jesus is, you know, for me, Jesus, right? And others are very conservative. He's the Jesus that's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Everybody has different realities of who you are. And I'm not going to say that any of your reality is wrong. Just beware that everybody has a different perception of who Christ is. And so when some people said he was John the Baptist, merely what the Bible is telling us is some people believe he was just a proclaimer getting ready for the Messiah. He wasn't really Jesus the Messiah. He was John the Baptist or Jesus the Proclaimer. And what I got from that is sometimes that's what we think about Jesus as well. When we pray, we pray, Lord, please help me before I get to my job and touch, oh God, the situation that I'm about to go through. We use Christ as the before us type of Christ. We use Christ as, let me pray to him so he can keep me out of what I'm going to go through. And so sometimes our perception of Jesus is the battle or the forger before the battle. And then some said that not only was he John the Baptist or they had that perception, but others thought he was Jesus Elijah. Y'all remember the story of Elijah. At his death, he was what? Caught in a whirlwind and taken up. Some of our perceptions is that of Jesus. He's the Jesus that's going to handle our death. He's the Jesus that's coming when we die. He's the Jesus that saves our souls. And so we have no use for Jesus outside of that context. Some of us pray before. Some of us pray, you know, for the day hereafter. And some of us have the perception of Jesus, some prophet. We come to church and look good and we talk about Jesus, but we really don't know who he is. He's just some prophet. We know he's good because grandmother said he was good. We know he's good because grandfather and aunts and uncles and mothers talked about him. But some of us have never had an encounter with the real Jesus. We kind of go to some prophet, right? He's just in our lives. We wear our crucifixes and our crosses. We have Bible scriptures labeled in our house. We got an angel somewhere on the, he's Jesus. But he's just some Jesus that we heard about. When I first got to Ebenezer, I taught the adult Bible study later on within that first year of me being here. And I asked the question to our adults, how many of you can say that you've had a personal encounter with Christ? Some raised their hands. And one person was honest and was like, well, I know Jesus, but what is this personal encounter? What does it look like? And that is the reality for many of us. We live our lives talking about some Jesus, but we don't know him to our core. Yes, we can pray to him to be our battle axe in a time of storm. Yes, we can pray that he saves us when our lives end. Or, you know, in Baptist, once saved, always saved. Or he can be just some Jesus that we talk about and know about and been passed down through generations, but really at the core, do you know Jesus in your heart? And does he go with you everywhere? Is Jesus just some Jesus to you? Or does he transform the way that you talk, the way that you walk? Is he Jesus to the core that when you think about him, you shudder because you know that he can make a way out of no way. You're not fearful of anything. When you have a deep personal relationship, what it looks like, listen, I can't describe it in biblical terms. I can't wax holy. I like big words. You know, Dr. Freeman always teases me and says, he said, oh, you learned a new word today. I like good words. I love language in the English dictionary. I love it. But I can only tell you that Jesus at the core means more than words can explain. If you know Jesus to your core, when you wake up in the morning, you talk to him. When you go to bed at night, you talk to him. When you go into your car, you say, Lord, help me. What was my keys at today?
Lord, Lord, help me get on this road. Lord, help me from saying some words I shouldn't say to this person, because Jesus is involved in everything you do. And even more than that, Jesus will tell you about yourself. Listen, you need to help your fellow man. When you have Jesus in your heart, you can't pass by 10th Street over there and see a man leaning on the corner and not say, listen, brother, I'll pray for you. When you have Jesus, it transforms everything in your life. Who do you say I am? Then there was the misconception of Jesus. There was the question of Jesus. But he changes it. He says, what do they say? But then he gets to a more personal encounter. And he wants to know, what do the people who are supposed to be really close to me say about me? Mm-hmm. Y'all got those type of friends, right? You know that they know all of your business. And when that person knows all your business, I don't care who you are, but you try to shape it as best you can. Listen, I'm not a bad person, but that just happened, brother, sister, whatever. Right? You want to shape what it is that you see. And so Jesus kind of has that interaction with his disciples. He says, listen, I know what people are saying about me. I mean, how could he not? He talks about it in chapter 4. He asks the same question in a different way. And so when he gets to chapter 8, the question is no longer about what the other people say. It's about what do those who proclaim me each and every Sunday say about me? What does Ebenezer members say about Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? What do you call him? Friend? Helper? Savior? What is your name for him? Because listen, if you can't put a name on your relationship with him, do you have a relationship with Jesus? If you don't know what he is to you, how can you say that you know the man? Some say he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Some say that he's a way maker. He's a trouble fixer. He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. But what do you say at the end of the day? What do you call him? And good God Almighty, I think that sometimes we have a lot of information about Jesus. We can hear stories. We can sing songs. We see the VOP dancing around. Didn't y'all want to dance when Walter was going in a circle? It looks good. It sounds good. But if you don't know him, you don't understand. You don't understand why I cry sometimes. It's not because I'm sad. But when I think about what Jesus did for me. I have a joke. Or a story of a joke, and I'm done. A woman appeared at the pearly gates seeking admission into heaven. And the gatekeeper said there was a test that had to be administered in order for them to proceed into her to proceed into paradise. And that the test consisted of three questions. So the woman said, go ahead, ask the questions. He said, okay. And the angel asked the first question. He said, tell me which 2 days out of the week begin with the letter T. She said, oh, that's easy. Today and tomorrow. The angel kind of smirked, said, okay, well, I mean, I can't argue with that. So now here's question number two. Tell me how many seconds there are in a year. And she says, oh, that's easy. 12. Angel kind of looked puzzlingly and asked her, well, how did you figure that? And she said, well, there's January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd, so on and so forth. So the angel laughed and said, okay, well, there's just one more question. What is God's name? And the lady said, well, God's name is Andy. The angel said, what do you mean, Andy? Well, she said, you know that song is right there in the chorus. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. This morning, Ebenezer, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And he heals my body. And he makes a way out of no way. And he lifts me when I'm down. And he stands with me in tough times. And he heals me when there nobody else can heal me. And he stands with me in the time of the courtroom when everybody else talked about me and condemned me to hell. He said, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. And he is what I call him. This morning, the question is, what do you call him? What's his name? That is the question for us this morning as VOP comes. I know a lot of us in here are above the age of supposed to have known who he is. Right? A lot of us, some of us have lived a long time. We've gone through a lot of battles. It would be embarrassing for us to say that we really don't know Jesus like we say we do. Quit worrying about other people. If you've never had that personal encounter, what it feels like is life-changing. In fact, you try to always get back to that place in your life that will change you, that you remember when you experience Christ for the first time, there's nothing like it. I mean, you tried to do everything that you could to stay in good graces with that Jesus. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you want to know that Jesus, just pray a little prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, make me over. Lord, give me a new name. And allow me to call you my friend. And when you pray that prayer, come to the altar. Brothers, would you come stand so that if there is one that's here, you can come to a new fellowship, a new friendship with this Jesus. I don't care how old you are. Don't worry about it. If you need somebody to walk with you, just tap the person and say, listen, I don't want to go by myself. Don't worry about what people think. There's time out for that. Too much information out there. Get to know it personally. Would you stand? Sing with us these words. Will give you brand new life.
He will give you brand new life.
New life abundantly.
New life abundantly.
Do you want that relationship? Come. Come on.
Give you brand.
ask, oh God, that if there was anyone that prayed a prayer, if they didn't want to come now, oh God, let them know that we're still here. We're here during the week. We're here every day. All they have to do is make a phone call. But until that time, allow them to know that you're with them even before they come. If they're asking for rededication, oh God, we ask that you would give them the courage to shout it to the rooftops, Lord, I need you again to come into my life. And if they're giving their lives over to you, let them know that you are a friend. But Lord, let us not walk away with having a lot of information, knowing not what to do with it. Be with our youth and our young adults. Continue to usher Ebenezer into your glorious presence each and every time that we meet, so that someone may be touched. Lord, we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor in all that we say and do. Amen and amen. Ebenezer, it's good to see you. Take Christ with you wherever you go this week. Remember to remain seated until the ushers dismiss you as we receive our benediction. The other thing is, please do not congregate in the lobbies. Make sure you go completely out. As far as I know, we've had zero cases of COVID within our membership, which is a blessing, and we want to keep it that way. Make sure you continue to keep your mask on, and we'll see you again next week. May his peace be with you.
May his peace be with you till we meet again. May his peace be with you till we meet again. Till we reach that distant shore. And we'll shed a tear no more. May he give you strength to endure till we meet again. Till we meet again. Till we meet again. May his peace be with you till we meet.
Pray God's blessings over you as you leave. Amen and amen.
May his peace.